Welcome, everyone, to another exciting edition of the Pulling on Heaven podcast. As we get started, I want you to know that I have been fairly warned that I am meant to keep everything on perfect topic today. So, Pastor, how was that football game last night?
You know, it was great. I liked it when this is going to be more by the numbers.
This
today.
Is going to be by the
we're
book.
Stay on topic.
By the numbers.
I mean,
what do you think about biblical numbers?
Biblical numbers have a place, you know. I mean, but you can over-examine and you get into just kind of the psychology of the mind. Jesus said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. And there we go again. See, it's just not.
I love you, Jonathan.
Okay.
Okay.
For real.
You know what today?
The joy of the Lord.
The joy of the Lord is my strength. Yeah. But that's not even what we're going to talk about. We are going to stick straight to the topic. Today's topic, repentance. That's a big word.
It's a big word.
You've been talking about it lately. So that's why I brought it to talk about it. But before we talk about repentance,
yes,
or what it means, or the context of what you brought it up, I'm actually curious what led you to want to talk about repentance. Because if you think about it, it's kind of the oldest topic in the book that there is when you want to talk about Christianity and the idea of getting someone saved and preaching and talking about repentance. So it's kind of the oldest topic of what things are, and not that you're not somebody that cares about repentance or that you're not some of that, but that's not necessarily, you tend to talk about things that are like kind of taking us glory to glory, you know, about leading us into deeper levels. And the idea of repentance, as at least it brings up as a concept, you know, feels like we're going backwards. We're going back to milk maybe when we should be moving on to more solid food. So what even inspired you, or how do you learn, what made you want to start talking about repentance again?
Well, I always look at and always pray about God be revealed through me. Let your word and your truth, and only your word and truth, come out of my mouth. And what do you want to talk about today? You know, before I go stand in front of people or in front of a mic, I ask God all the time, let your idea be my ideas, your thoughts be my thoughts. Tell me, use me. You reveal your glory through what I say. I don't want to just take up time and space, be heard, be seen. So my attitude is always that, my approach is always, God, your will be done. Just like Jesus said. So I'm thinking about God, his authority, his all God, all present, all sovereign, all presence, and his goodness. And I was thinking about repentance and being something more than just being sorry. And of course, there is, repentance from sin. You know, I'm sorry for what I've done. We've all experienced sorrow, whether we've actually repented or not, in the sense of I wished I hadn't done that, or I wished I'd done it differently, or had done it, not done it at all. But then I remembered Jesus. His message was all about the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. And the word says that it says from this point on, meaning at the time that John the Baptist had been imprisoned, and the word says that from this point on, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And I love to research, I love to study words, the original meaning, follow it from start to finish. Why did we get here? You know, why did Jesus begin to speak this way? Mm-hmm. Because it said he began from this time.
It wasn't his initial.
Yeah, and the way it's worded in the scripture. And in some respects, yes and no. I mean, he came with the same message, the kingdom of God and salvation. That's who he is. But where he said, repent because the kingdom of God is at hand. Metanoeo is the Greek word, which means change your mind. So I thought about it because I'm thinking this can't be just the acknowledgement of sin. He's actually directing our thoughts to the acknowledgement of the kingdom.
Yeah.
So what is he actually saying? He's not just saying, he's not saying, I want you to acknowledge the evil that you've done. I want you to acknowledge how fallen you are.
how bad you are.
No, because the gospel is good news. But what he's saying is, I want you to acknowledge what is at hand. I want you to acknowledge what is before you, what is in your grasp. I want you to acknowledge. So I want you to change your mind from the direction you've been thinking in to an expanded version of reality.
Yeah.
And Christ is the reality. So repent literally means, and there's a great deal more. We're going to talk about this actually this coming Sunday. There's a lot more to
it. Maybe it's last Sunday based on when we have this.
maybe last Sunday. He's saying, I want you to acknowledge something that you're not aware of. There is something present that you think is future event. And the only way you can see it is you have to repent. Because the word says, unless we're born again, we cannot see the kingdom of God. Okay, so what Christ is really saying here is change your mind and be born again. And of course, we repent of who we were and what we've done, but it's far deeper than that. It is literally change your mind, which tells us, and I just find this amazing, we can change our mind. So a computer has programming and all the process that he does. It can't change its process. It can't change its mind, as it were. We do that. So we go in and we reprogram it. But God is, it would be like us telling the computer, change your mind. Well, it's not going to do it unless that input is put into it. So Jesus is putting that input into us. He's saying, you have one train of thought. I give you the power to change your mind.
Wow.
So change your mind, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Look for the kingdom. Now, this is what he said. He said, the first thing I want you to do is seek first. Now, the Greek emphasis on this is not a request. It is a command. So Jesus is saying, I'm giving you a command from the kingdom. Seek the kingdom first. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, everything that is necessary, will come to you. It will befall you, if you will, almost like, you know, calamity befalls you. Well, this is better. Good is going to befall you. So all three scriptures, they're all three connected to repentance. And repentance is literally change your mind to a kingdom perspective, that the kingdom of God exists presently with you, and I represent the kingdom of God. Look to me.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. That's heavy. And it's, you know, it's so different from where I think you grew up in Sunday school, or you hear the preachers on TV or someone on the street corner with the signs about repent or you're going to burn in hell type perspective, because that type of thinking kind of puts you down to not really any different than what the Pharisees were kind of already teaching at the time. So the Pharisees were so much, they were so against sin.
Oh, yeah.
You know, remember, the Pharisees didn't
like
what
Jesus...
They had people
in spiritual custody all the time.
They were so against sin that they came up with laws that weren't actual laws to keep you from even coming close to breaking the actual laws that you want to break. So so Jesus, you know, and even John, they didn't show up as, you know, I've never really thought about it before you were preaching about it the other day. You know, when you think about repentance, if it's kind of the traditional way of it, they would have been right in line with what the Pharisees wanted. The Pharisees were the first to say, you need to not do this, and you need to not do this. You have to hold all these laws. Yeah. And here comes Jesus saying, yeah, listen to these Pharisees better.
Yeah, the kind of the old school thinking, and not the old school as in where Christ is talking about is more of that imprisonment of actions, conscious awareness, you know, be what you think about this, think about. But the word teaches us the only way to obey Christ is to love him. If you love me, keep my word. How do you keep my word? By loving me. If you love me, you will do, you know, when you love someone, you want to do what pleases that person. And it's not an effort, it's an act of love. Okay. Yeah. So repentance isn't about looking at the evil, it's about acknowledging the good. Metanoeo is change your mind, because the basileia, the kingdom of God, is at hand. So the basileia means it is the rule authority. It is the dominion, the sovereign power of God, because he's referencing the kingdom of God. So he's saying, repent, metanoeo, because the kingdom, the basileia, is at hand. So he is saying, set your mind on the true rule and authority of God and look to me.
Yeah.
So that's what repentance is, isn't you've been bad, although all have sinned, all have fallen short of the glory of God. None of that changes. You repent from your ways, you turn, and you look to Christ. But what he's actually saying is there is something to be had here if you change your mind from what you've been thinking and the way you've been thinking, even the legalism of churchdom, you know, of the government of religion as opposed to the kingdom of heaven. Change your mind from that government and look to me. Look to me, having your mind, your eyes set on Christ. You know, I'll keep him in perfect peace. The scriptures say, Old Testament, whose mind is stayed on me because you trust in me. So it's literally an Old Testament command from God. But when he says, seek first the kingdom of God, he's saying, make this first place in your life. This is the first thing you do, and it is literally the foundation of repent. Seek first, repent first, acknowledge first the kingdom of God is at hand, and then everything else will fall into order because the kingdom of God, the basileia, rules. That's the authority and the power.
You know, the I think a lot of times when you hear the word repent, it's more of a warning,
right?
You know, repent. Whereas in the context, like you said, it's good news.
Yeah.
So it's almost, I think there was someone, I think we were talking about this, I think N.T. Wright was talking about in context of one of his books, and he's a British theologian that was talking about from that perspective of, you know, it's a, we think of it as a as bad news, like I said, but it's actually, it's good news.
Oh, yeah.
Guess what? You can change your mind.
Yeah.
Let's change our mind because the kingdom of heaven is not a far off thing. It's here with you now. Despite all the reasons why God had to give the law, you don't have to do that to get to him. You can get to him now, right now, and be in the fullness of him.
Yeah. So the repentance is look what is at hand.
Yeah.
Look at this. Jesus, how Jesus deals with sin. First of all, he goes to the cross. He pays for our sin. He lays his life down. His life wasn't taken. He lays it down of his own free will. No man takes my life. He said, I lay it down because I want to. It's the command of my Father, and my Father abides in me, and my Father's given me power to lay it down and to take it up, and I'm doing it because I love you, because for God so loved the world. John 3:16, he gave his only begotten Son. Why did he act out this way? Why did he send Christ? Because he loved. So lead by love. God always leads by love. Jesus addresses the woman caught in the act of adultery. He doesn't say, ah, wrong, you shouldn't have done that. You need to repent of the evil that you've done. What did he say? Your sins are forgiven.
I don't condemn you.
Yeah, I'm not condemning you. Don't go back and do what you've done, but I don't condemn you. What is he showing? He's showing the authoritative power of forgiveness through the love of the Father. He's showing the kingdom of God is here, right here, right now. And the religious people get all upset. Who are you to forgive sin? Who are you to say, you know, but so he adjusts their attitude, the religious leaders, by saying, all right, those of you, how would you want me to treat you is actually what he's saying.
Yeah.
Those of you without sin, if you were in her place, those of you without sin, you cast the first stone. So now they just traded positions. Now you're her. You're in her position. You want to judge her or do you want to throw your stone down?
Yeah.
Because they were ready to stone. Today, repentance is an idea. It's a concept in a lot of believers' mind and non-believers that it's more about acknowledging how wrong you've been and the evil that you've done and to repent from that. Well, that really doesn't change anything. You can be sorry for a lot of things. People are sorry and repent and say, I'm sorry for a lot of things they continue to do. But when you acknowledge the kingdom of God, and that's what Jesus's focus was regarding repent. Repent, metanoeo, change your mind to what? The kingdom.
Yeah.
So how do we become free from the bondage of the keep things we keep doing that we shouldn't? Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. How? Change it. How? By looking for the kingdom of God that is presently at hand. Not a future event, a present event. God does not change. Jesus does not change. So God has to be as present with us now as he will be at any point in time in the future. A different glory, we'll experience a different glory of his presence from glory to glory, but as far as his presence, his sovereign, omnipresence.
And his governing of the world and our lives.
The government of God reigns and rules in the earth. Jesus said the kingdom of God is at hand. So if you look for the government of my rule, look for my kingdom, seek it first and foremost, then everything else that you have need of and things you aren't even aware of, the order of God's will becomes very clear.
Yeah.
Because you've structured, you've changed your mind. Instead of looking at your sin, he's not asking us to look at our sin. He came that we were free of sin to remove, the word says, he came to remove the consciousness of sin. So why would he remove the consciousness of sin and then tell us to acknowledge it?
Yeah.
We all know we've all sinned, but what he's saying is now to get yourself out of the mire of that sin and those actions and that mentality, that old mind, the old man, be renewed. How? Seek the kingdom of God. Repent. Seek change first, your change your mind. By seeking the kingdom of God, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that's what he said. Paul says, when you're renewed in the spirit of your mind, you can show, you can prove the good, perfect, acceptable will of God because you're no longer conformed. So Paul says in Romans 12, he said, be not conformed. And conformity is the idea of I'm repenting because I'm bad. No, I'm repenting because God is good.
Absolutely.
Because I can feel bad for what I do or what I've done, but it isn't necessarily going to change me. But if I look at something better and acknowledge that as my reality, Christ becomes my reality. What he has done on the cross, he rose from the grave. He's alive forevermore. If I look at him, his kingdom, his rule, his authority, then I'm free from my own conscious awareness of sin. Yeah. What did he come to do? To destroy our consciousness of sin. Because in the Old Testament, they were sorry.
Yeah,
and they came and they brought their sacrifice. But the word says the weakness in the old law was that they continually remembered the sin that they had sacrificed for.
And every year they'd have to
to do the same thing over and over, like a lot of believers do today.
Yeah.
They fight the same battle over and over. They struggle with the same thing because the idea of repentance is more of an acknowledgement of our sin. No, it's an acknowledgement of his righteousness.
Yeah.
Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And that's the power of repentance. Change our mind to look at Christ, his kingdom, his rule. Christ reigns and rules in my life. It's no longer I that lives, but it's Christ that lives in me. And that's not an act of works. That's an act of faith. Faith without works is dead, being alone. So,
well, I love your example about the woman caught in adultery because Jesus comes and he intervenes on her behalf.
Yeah.
While essentially she's still in the midst of her sin.
She hasn't
been given, you know, and he's even willing to put his life. I mean, they all got rocks. So he's willing to go to the sinner in the midst of their sin and get struck and die for them. And it's that kind of love that then gives him the place to tell her to go and sin no more.
Yeah.
He almost earns the right in her own life to take that position. And I think when you look at that context and then the other extreme of what was going on in Israel in the day and everyone longing for some deliverer, a Messiah that would come and deliver them from their circumstances and set up a governing, the actual government of God to rule there right there. And I think in both cases, you see this perspective that changes your mind, goes like, you know what? My circumstances don't have to change before I can interact with God, before I can experience God's love, his grace, his mercy, and that the kingdom is in that. It's not in the change of circumstances.
Yeah.
Whatever circumstances there are will change afterwards, as you said, is the byproduct of that relationship.
Yeah.
But he's saying, you guys are thinking about it all wrong. And that's really the works mentality. It's that I have to keep the law or I have no relationship with God. We have to get rid of the Romans or we can't be ruling in our kingdom. We need to do all these things have to change in my life. All the events in my life today have to go right for me then to be the person I'm meant to be.
Yeah.
Instead of going like, you know what? No, change your mind. Right now, you can have the fullness of everything. And then when you embrace that and walk that out, then you'll begin to change.
Yeah,
I'm preaching now.
Come on. you testified to it yourself. You've been through challenges recently. Your trip to Spain and
stuff getting stolen
and all this.
Yeah.
But it does something that we don't see. God is Lord over the visible and the invisible. And sometimes we look for an outward expression of what took place through whatever we may have experienced. You know, I'm going to see why this happened now, because I kept my faith in Christ. And so I'm going to see, well, sometimes you don't see what took place.
No.
You experience what took place. In other words, something deep inside of you is fortified, it's strengthened, and you're not aware of it until you begin to express it in your life. And you realize, man, there's a strength there that I didn't have before.
Yes.
That's the good. That's the good that came out of that trial. You know, in your case, maybe the thieves didn't say, oh, we're sorry, Mr. Blinn, we took your camera equipment and we repent to you that we have done
and
this.
And here's three more, twice as much stuff. Here's
we wanted to, and we cleaned it up for you.
Yes. Shot some better stuff than you did.
So that didn't happen, right? But something profound happened. I heard it in your wife. I heard it in Jen.
Yeah.
And I'm hearing it in you from an experience more recent, but no one outfitted you with new equipment again. You didn't,
no.
You know, you didn't, the issue didn't appear to be resolved.
I didn't have a Job-like restoration.
No.
I didn't have a Job-like suffering either, but there was no, I got back tenfold what was taken. Maybe I will one day, but no.
Well,
the treasure isn't within that, or maybe I already have.
What you just said, and maybe you will someday, but that power doesn't stop there. The transformation that happens inside of us doesn't stop because, oh, I feel better. It promotes everything that you do in life. You have ideas you wouldn't have had when your mind is elevated to set your mind on Christ. And listen, I am totally, when I say Christ-centered, that's my entire life. It is Christ in all things, everything, all the time. You can't lose that way, no matter what. You can't lose if your mind is changed to the idea. And I had the same attitude. You know, I must be, you know, there must be something wrong in my life, or I must be doing something wrong, or I'm being attacked. I came from that old school mentality till I finally realized I'm going to believe the scripture. I'm going to believe. I'm changing my mind. I'm being renewed when I change my mind because I'm thinking of who he is. It's no longer I that lives. It's Christ that lives in me. So now I just became Christ-centered again. Instead of looking at the issue and trying to figure out why it happened, that's an endless road to nowhere. I just center myself and say, Christ in me is the hope of glory. He leads me in the way that I'm to go. And the Lord is ever with me, ever for me. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It's all Christ-centered. And that's, I'm seeking the government of God's kingdom. God is authority. He's the authority, the power, the Alpha, the Omega, the first, the last, the beginning, the end. He's sovereign, all present, all power. God's doing something. And when you do that, that's repentance.
Yeah.
That's changing your mind.
Absolutely.
Because we think about what maybe we'll repent one time and get saved and then that's it. No, repentance isn't an act that we incur because of or act on because of rebellion towards God. It is the acknowledgement of the ability to change our minds to see the kingdom of God, to see him in a way we've never seen him before, because you're not going to take a snapshot of Christ and know all about him. We continue to grow in our relationship. He's eternal, so I don't believe it will ever end. I believe the revelation of God and Christ will be a perpetual, continual experience from glory, one form of glory, to another form of glory.
So you have to continually change your mind.
You have. It's part of life. I mean, if we're educated, we become educated, whether it's learning new words, new languages, new occupation, new skill sets. You're constantly changing your mind, and anytime you learn something, you always make changes, whether subtle or extreme changes, in how you would handle a particular tool or how you would approach a problem or something that needs to be built or repaired. There's always a change of mind going on. It's called elevation. It's called education. It's called being strengthened in the spirit of your mind. But we look at all of these scriptures as though it's a battle, as something bad we're having to overcome. If we set our mind more towards who Christ is, we're going from glory to glory. We're experiencing the kingdom of God on earth, and from one glory of God's reality to another glory of Christ's reality. So we're constantly in a state of repentance, as it were, but not acknowledging that we've been so bad, but acknowledging, forget about you. It's no longer
that
lives.
I think that's the whole point, right?
But acknowledging who Christ is repentance. You know, I mean, I'm sorry for what I've done doesn't change anyone. You know, I mean, but you can repent and say, Christ, I don't want to be this way anymore. So then what? It's kind of like letting a prisoner out of prison. He's free, but if he has no skill set or any place to go, he ends up back where he was. Well,
yeah.
Jesus is saying, change your mind. I'm giving you a skill set. I'm giving the power to do my will and make my will your will. And I'm liberating you from a condemned, imprisoned consciousness. Look at the kingdom. Repent for the kingdom of God. Metanoeo. Change your mind. Metanoeo. Change your mind. And look at the basileia. Look at the throne. Look at the authority. Look at the rule. Look at the power of God. And then we become intrigued with the kingdom of God because it is our future reality in the present.
Yeah.
And you begin to see how great and powerful God is presently with us. This is the changing. This is what the word says, by be renewed in the spirit of your mind. How do I renew my mind? I just keep reading the word. Well, reading the word's a good place to go. But it's by changing your mind based on your inabilities, and instead of looking at your wrong, look at his right.
Yeah.
You know, seek first the kingdom of God, not answers that you want from the earth. Seek the kingdom of God, and not your sin, not what you've done, what you shouldn't have done, but seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So what am I doing? I'm changing my mind by seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's repentance.
Wow. And, you know, we tend to think of it in terms of the personal and our relationship to God and reframing that. But I think we were talking about in a relatively recently episode as it related to, say, warfare and of David and Solomon.
Yeah.
And David wanted to build the temple. He wanted to build the dwelling place of God on earth and advance the kingdom. But God said, no, you're a man of warfare.
And this is David. His heart was after God.
He said, no, but I'm going to give you a son. And as you said, who'll have no adversary, no evil inquiring on any border, who's going to have a different mind. He's going to grow up under a mind of peace. And I think what's relevant, I think, for the church today, a lot of times we sit there, is you mentioned also the scripture about a speck in one person's eye and the log in, or take out the log in our own.
Right.
You know, the church wants to sit there, and part of the role of a properly functioning church, I would agree, is to look to the world and call it to repentance.
But I think
what we look at it from that narrower version of repentance that we're talking about, that's not really repentance, and we want the world to change so the world would be a better place, so they all need to repent.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at David's inability to create the temple and put the dwelling place of the house on the earth, maybe it's the church that really needs to repent. Mm-hmm. And it's our mindset that God isn't here present, that the kingdom of God isn't ruling right now, that he isn't the fullness, that there's something to fight and war against. If we were to change our minds, we'd then maybe become the people that bring the healing to everybody else so that it would change.
Well, if we're uncertain, how can we help people to be certain?
Yeah.
You know, if the leader, if you will, of Christianity, the leader of relationship with Christ, are uncertain, how can we confirm certainty in others if certainty doesn't lie within us? So, and regarding the kingdom of God, if the kingdom of God isn't here, why did Jesus say it was?
Yeah.
And if it isn't within us to be found, and within the earth, you know, all the analogies that Christ used referenced the earth, a seed in the earth, a mustard seed or a pearl in the earth. It's because this is where the revelation of Christ is revealed, and he is, his authority, his kingdomship, his rulership is here. He didn't take it away. He said, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. Then why did God say, seek first the kingdom if we couldn't find it in the present? If it's only in a future event, why would he tell us the first thing we need to do is the last thing we're going to find?
Yep.
Because it's present. He wouldn't have said, seek this first, because it's going to be the last thing you find.
Yeah, last thing to find.
He's
last
saying,
thing to happen.
Seek it first, because it's going to happen first. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then. So what does that mean? Well, when you seek it, what does the word say? Seek and you will find. Not the last thing, the first thing. Seek it first, you'll find it first, and then everything will gel. Everything will come together. Everything coalesces. Everything comes into it to its purpose and its call. And we are the called. Ecclesia, we are the called out. We are the church, which also referenced a government of believers, not a government like we think in our heads of government and ruling. His ways are beyond the government of our imagination. And he tried to express that to Israel early on when they wanted a king. And Samuel says, you don't want that. King. And God says, they're not rejecting you, Samuel. They're rejecting me. And God gave them a king, and the king did just as they said. He ruled over them.
And that's how the people were when Jesus showed up too. We want a king. Yeah. And again, that's repent. That's not the way to think about it.
I see the church as the ruling authority in the earth, and people are all upset about, you know, from one point of government to another point of government and their perspective, and not that we shouldn't vote and pray for our leadership, because we should, but there is a government that rules the mind of government. And it is what Jesus said, if you'll seek first the kingdom. So if we as a body will just unite and believe God for who he is, he's the only authority and the only power, and he is ever present. And God isn't a portion of God in heaven and then another portion of God in the earth. Jesus made it clear, and the scriptures make it clear, when he said the fullness of God dwells in you in bodily form. And then Jesus said, now you're going to represent me as I have been. He said, now you are the light of the world.
Yeah.
And I'm ascending to the Father, but I'm sending my spirit, my rule, my authority. I'm leaving it with you, and I'm sending my spirit to awaken you, to open your eyes. So my spirit, you can see as I want you to see, as I see. You can hear as I want you to hear, as I hear. As he is, so are we in this world, referencing the love of God. Always lead with love.
Absolutely.
Always lead with love. That's who he is. And the reality is the kingdom of God is here to be seen and believed in according to our faith. If we will continue in communicating the message that Jesus preached, repent, change your mind. Don't put it off in the future. Change your mind. The kingdom of God is at hand. That was his message, and that was the reference of repentance. Change your mind.
Yeah.
Look for the basileia.
Yeah, that's okay? Good news.
It's metanoeo. Change how you're thinking. Well, he was telling them, you're thinking a certain way. You need to think a different way. Not just stop doing the evil that you're doing, because it's not a matter of works.
No.
It's a matter of Christ working and living through us.
Yeah.
Set your mind on the authority of the kingdom of God. The woman with the issue of blood did it. A lot of people were touching Christ. A lot of people were putting their hands on him, okay? And so much so that when the woman touched him, and the word records that virtue literally went out from him. That's a message in itself. We literally have the authority as human beings on the earth by faith in who he is, not our circumstance. So at that moment, she repented. She acknowledged the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
And her heart and her mind was so focused on who he was that virtue from Christ was drawn into a vessel that was ready to receive the virtue and the presence and the power, the kingdom of Christ. And she was immediately healed, even feeling condemned in herself. Not only for whatever her life may have been, but because she was in an unclean state, legally by law, would have been stoned for doing such a thing. You just didn't, an unclean vessel doesn't put your hands on a rabbi, a teacher, and so she would have legally, she could have been stoned, but she, in her mind, couldn't help do what her faith drove her to do, and she touched his garment, just the fringe of his garment, acknowledging him, no distance, time, space between us and God and our faith, and she was healed, and Jesus says, who touched me? Not who put their hand on me, because she didn't. Who touched me? Who drew virtue from me? And the disciples saying, well, a lot of people are touching you. No, you see, saying, not who put their hand on me. Someone touched me. Someone drew virtue from me, because she saw him as the authority and the power of her present, her past, and her future, and she was instantly healed.
I love that. Yeah, she saw his identity as her own instead of her identity.
Exactly.
So she changed her mind from, I'm not worthy to touch him, to, I am worthy to touch
him.
And in fact, I can draw his, literally, virtue. Like, I can take who he is, and it can become part of me.
And see, that's true repentance and a kingdom perspective. When you are set your mind on him, when you're focused on who he is, It's as the word says, it's as simple as a child.
Wow.
Just dependent on the Father. If you set your mind on Him, your mind changes. Repentance, metanoeo, change your mind. You immediately begin to change. Your consciousness changes. Your circumstances change. Your condition changes. And all you can see is Christ. Well, when you look at Him, you become the worthiness of Christ.
Yeah.
Through who He is, not who we are, where we've been, or what we've done. That is true repentance.
Man, it's not repent because the kingdom of God is at hand. It's repent, the kingdom of God is at hand.
Yeah, it's more of a joyous
expression.
Man,
what
and call.
Great word. Yeah. Thanks, Pastor.
Thank you, Steve.
Look forward to hearing much more about this.
We'll do
See
it.
See you guys soon.